Group. Provena Medical Group physician Dr. Lenley Jackson, a U of I graduate, will be offering campus area residents a primary care option just steps from Krannert Center. Appointments available at his campus office at 217-328-2323.
It's 2:40. Let's find out what's going on today in Beijing. American Michael Phelps will dive back into the Olympic pool as he competes in the 200 butterfly final in a few hours. Phelps already has 3 gold medals and 3 world records at the Beijing Games after capturing the 200 freestyle. It was Phelps's 9th career Olympic gold medal. American Natalie Coughlin won the gold medal in 100 backstroke, becoming the first woman ever to defend her Olympic title in that event. Aaron Pearsall set a world record in capturing the gold in men's 100-meter backstroke, finishing just ahead of U.S. teammate Matt Grievers. And Jason Lezak has advanced to the 100 freestyle semifinals. Also today in Beijing, the U.S. Olympic team enjoyed lopsided wins in men's basketball, women's soccer, and women's softball. The Chicago White Sox will try to get back into first place in the AL Central when they open a 3-game home series against the Kansas City Royals tonight. The St. Louis Cardinals will send Kyle Loesch to the mound tonight when they continue their series against the Florida Marlins in Miami. And the Chicago Cubs, who own the best home record in the National League at 45-17, are currently also having some momentum going on the road. On the road, they've won a season-high 5 straight going into tonight's game in Atlanta. The Cubs haven't won 6 straight road games since 2005. That's sports.
WILL programs are made possible by Community Concierge Magazine, telling Champaign-Urbana's story to new residents and old. Every issue includes an event calendar, attractions, and maps, as well as a business and shopping guide. Community Concierge Magazine is distributed 4 times a year throughout East Central Illinois.
Next time on PRI's The World, an apartment building in Beirut was a sniper's nest during Lebanon's 15-year civil war. Now some Lebanese want to convert that building and its intact sniper's nest into a museum. That story and the latest on the conflict between Georgia and Russia, coming up today on The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. It's 2:43 Central Time. When you're looking for a telephone number, it's instinctive to hit 411. Those 3 digits are synonymous with information, and directory assistance still brings in billions for phone companies. But there are other options. There's the Internet and the plain old Yellow Pages. NPR's Yuki Noguchi has been trying out some new services.
You're probably familiar with this prompt.
What city and state, or say, toll-free? For what listing?
For many decades, directory assistance was free. But in the 1970s, phone companies started charging for it, and nowadays, it costs around $2 to call 411. Compare that to research on the web, which costs nothing. Directories like switchboard.com make money through ads, not fees. So 3 years ago, Jingle Networks decided to try this model on traditional 411 dialing. I decided to give it a try.
So you dial 1-800-FREE-411.
Free 411. Now with directions powered by MapQuest.
So instead of paying for the service, you sit through a couple of ads. Jingle Network's CEO, Scott Kleiger, says the service gets 20 million calls a month, is profitable, and increasingly popular with marketers.
It was a new media format, unlike television, print, billboards, even the internet. It's the only place where an advertiser can literally whisper into the consumer's ear that they know they're listening to because they're waiting to receive a phone number.
Several other companies offer similar services, like 800-411-SAVE. But not all of them run ads, at least not yet. Google and Microsoft each have their own 800 phone numbers. Microsoft's 800-CALL-411, for example, works like a phone-based version of a web search engine and gives you different information than the regular 411. It lets you look up
cheap gas, say a zip code, or say a city and state.
Washington, D.C.
Here are some of the cheapest gas stations in your area.
Use of the free services has spread mostly through word of mouth, since the companies don't advertise them. In fact, user Sam Turek says Free 411 literally found him.
Their phone number was 1-800-373-3411, and my phone number was 716-373-3411. So once I got in the business, I was getting phone calls 24 hours a day.
Turek got tired of this and eventually gave up his number. But he's now a big fan of the free phone lookups and uses it 5 or 6 times a week.
Anytime I need a phone number, I actually think of that number before I think about looking at Yellow Pages.
This is not good for the old Yellow Pages, or the old 411 business for that matter, which still generates $6 billion a year for the phone giants. Big phone companies have even started their own free 800 services, though that could end up cannibalizing their paid business. AT&T Senior Vice President David Huntley says he's not too worried. He thinks lots of people will still pay for the old 411.
I have to say, I use the paid 411 service. It's great, it's fast, it's accurate, I'm typically on the go, and it provides me with just what I need.
The free versions are automated and sometimes have their kinks. Like I asked 800 Yellow Pages for florists.
Okay, I've got general attorneys and lawyers. Is that right?
No.
Sorry, did you want general attorneys and lawyers?
No.
My mistake.
Sam Turek, the fan of Free 411, says he gets what he pays for.
Like, I live in Olean, New York, O-L-E-A-N, New York, and I found on Free 411, when I say Olean, they say Olean, and I say no.
Olean, he points out, is a fat substitute used in salty snacks. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
Some of the world's most intricate architecture is not always constructed by humans. Sometimes the most skilled architectural wonders are designed by nature. Gretchen Kuda reports on an exhibit that celebrates birds' nests.
Judith McMillan didn't find her inspiration in tree branches. She found it in the basement of the museum where she works. She was rummaging through drawers there when she came across a 100-year-old collection of birds' nests.
I mean, this museum must have 10 cabinets full of birds' nests.
She was fascinated and immediately knew she had a new subject for her art. McMillan is a photographer who's been volunteering at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History for 20 years. In her latest exhibit, titled Nesting, she captures some of nature's most inspiring and often overlooked architecture, the nests of birds.
I think the writing on the eggs is wonderful. Amazing.
These are just marvels of engineering. Every single nest.
I was looking for nests that were different from each other so that you could see that these birds were little architects. There were so many different kinds of materials used. Then the eggs could be so different, some with little tiny speckles, some solid colors, some with almost like little calligraphic streaks around them. So it was that variety that I wanted to capture.
Do you see how round that is, the nest itself?
All the photographs are in black and white because she wanted people to concentrate on the architecture without being seduced by the color. She's fascinated by the way different birds chose very specific materials to work with, everything from marsh reeds, grapevine, or little knotty twigs like this one.
This is a vermilion flycatcher. It was made out of twigs, and it was almost like a pickup stick's nest with the way they were pushed together.
And to emphasize the diversity of structures birds can create, she shows me an oriole's nest that's 5 inches deep and formerly hung like a basket from a tree.
I actually had to shine a flashlight down into it while I was making the photograph in order to get the eggs to show up.
Most of the nests and eggs were collected around the turn of the 20th century by amateur naturalists who never thought twice about disturbing the natural wildlife. But the practice eventually fell out of fashion as people became more environmentally conscious, and large nest and egg collections were often turned over to museums, explains Andy Jones, the museum's ornithologist.
People whose grandfathers were dealing with eggs as a hobby, well, their grandfathers are passing away, and they say, I got to do something with these. And so they contact their local university or natural history museum and say, hey, do you want these?
Those specimens were originally collected just because they were pretty. These days, they're still beautiful, but they also serve a scientific purpose. Scientists can look at things such as the thickness of shells or the type and number of birds found in a specific location and tell a lot. They can see where birds used to live and how far their territories reached. They can even tell if a bird that's extinct now once lived in an area. Judith McMillan hopes her photographs will not only show how beautiful the birds' handiwork was, but will also inspire people to do something about saving the birds that are still here.
I didn't understand until I started using a camera myself how you can isolate something and make people look at it differently. And I hope through my photographs I'm getting people to take a fresh look at things. It's hard to have an appreciation of nature unless you look at it and start to really care about it.
Recent surveys have found that many songbirds are disappearing. If people don't start caring, those photographs and drawers full of nests might become the only reminders of many more species that go extinct. For the Environment Report, I'm Gretchen Kuda.
Well, speaking of nests and nesting, we're going to hear a tune in just a moment from singer-songwriter Janice Ian, Home is the Heart. Earlier this afternoon, we had the pleasure of talking with Janice Ian. She's a Grammy Award-winning songwriter and singer. Her autobiography, Society's Child, has just been published by Tarcher Penguin, and a companion CD collection, Best of Janice Ian, the autobiography collection, has been issued by Rude Girl Records. In 2006, she released Folk is the New Black. On this CD, you'll find Home is the Heart.
There's a home for every heart, like a diamond in the dark. When you least expect a spark, it shines. Some may move it right away. Some may build it day by day. Some may find they're too afraid to try. Four walls.
Janice Ian from her 2006 release, Folk is the New Black. We heard Home is the Heart.
Earth and Sky.
There's no question there is a place for cars in transportation. But I think in the case of the United States and Europe, there's the place for cars will be smaller.
You're listening to transportation expert Lee Shipper talking about the way we might move around in cities and megacities of the future.
You know, there isn't the best way. It's a question of more or less balance of how we move. There is a role for individual private transportation, but too much of it and everybody slows down and stops. There's a role for large-scale collective transportation, bus rapid transit in or metros. There is a role for, a very important role for cycling, for non-motorized transport.
Dr. Shipper is currently a visiting scholar at the University of California, Berkeley's Transportation Center. He said the key to sustainable urban transportation is for people to live, work, and play closer together.
The ownership of cars will probably continue to grow. The use of cars will be less than it has been. And above all, we won't need to move around as much because we discover that we can do all these great things closer to home.
Shipper predicts a 20 to 30 year transition to more sustainable human mobility. Our thanks today to Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
WILL programming is made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, featuring locally grown and organic produce, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar, and bulk foods department. Strawberry Fields also offers natural vitamins, health and beauty products, household cleaning products, pet foods, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating.
Here's Mike Sola's forecast for Illinois and Indiana this afternoon. Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms in northwestern Illinois. Highs ranging from 76 in far northwestern Illinois to around 85 in southern Indiana. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in the north. Lows generally between 56 and 62. All